You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going right to our phone callers. First up, Samantha, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Samantha.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I've been better, and I'm going to try not to cry, but my husband and I were expecting our first baby, and unfortunately, we found out that our baby is not going to live. She doesn't have a brain. She doesn't have legs, and her arms are severely underdeveloped. We're heartbroken by all of that, I'm sure you can understand. And we really, at this point, are faced now with the choice of continuing on the pregnancy, or we have the option of having an early induction where we'd still be able to hold her and have her buried and all, but wouldn't go through the remainder of the pregnancy. And we've been in counseling with our pastor over it and with our parents and other individuals, and we're just still kind of at a loss of what to do. We've been reassured and reassured and reassured that we are not affecting the outcome, that our baby is not going to live. But we, you know, there's unknowns certainly on both sides of this, and I never in a million years, never ever could have ever imagined being in a position like this. And, you know, really the concerns with continuing the pregnancy come around my health and just, you know, the physicality of it and the stress of it and going through that and what that's like. And you know, I kind of, the whole time of our pregnancy, I've known in my heart something was wrong, and I've just known it in my heart. And then now I kind of have that same like feeling around worrying about my own health with continuing on, and I don't know if that's just fear or if that's, you know, if I should pay attention to that. But, you know, above all, we want to honor the Lord and bring Him glory through this. It's just...
And you will, Samantha.
Terrible choices to make, and we just, you know, I really appreciate your show and your ministry, and I thought that maybe you might have a little bit of light to shed on this. We've told the doctors repeatedly if there was a chance that our daughter would just be severely disabled or have severe difficulties or anything like that, to please tell us that we would not, you know, we would honor that life. And they continue to assure us that that is not the case. And they said, you know, we don't often give a patient no hope, but in this case, you know, this is absolutely terminal with her situation, specifically with the brain situation. So that's where we are, and we haven't had any problems the whole time, so I just can't believe this.
Yeah, Samantha, I'm so glad you called. And first, let me say this, that on some level, I can identify with you in that my wife and I had a preborn child that died, baby Grace. And the thing
That's not your daughter's name.
Wow. Well, you're going to make me emotional here, but...
Sorry. Everyone cry these days.
Well, here's the thing. We know for certain that you're going to have a relationship with baby Grace for all eternity. And that's the good news.
And that's the blessing that we've said over and over through this, that we are so thankful for that.
Yeah. And the other thing that you said, which is just so heartwarming to me, is the fact that you're going to have a burial. I think so often...
Want to honor her life.
Oh, wonderful. So often people neglect, even Christians neglect that part of the process. We want to recognize that baby Grace is a real person.
Yes, she's our daughter.
And therefore she deserves a real funeral, and you will spend eternity with her, and one day she will develop, the DNA that makes her will develop into what she would have been if sin had never entered the world. So you will see her in perfection. And now you have an opportunity to be a testimony. Now, you got to take seriously the medical aspects, which is to say that if your life is in danger, that's a serious consideration. If it is certain that baby Grace is going to die, remember, we can't take that prerogative into our own hands because life and death is the prerogative of God alone. But you have to consider seriously medical ramifications for you. There's a greater good principle, and no one has to tell you anything about this. I mean, I could try to go into detail on this, but it's unnecessary because your heart is where God wants your heart. Your heart is with His will, not your own will. Your heart is with His purposes, not your own. You want Him to be glorified. And I'll tell you something, with your heart where your heart is, God is not going to allow you to make a mistake in this process. You have to get the very best medical advice that you can get. You've looked for the best spiritual advice that you can get. Your heart is the heart of God. You've demonstrated that in even enunciating the question, which, by the way, let me tell you, baby Grace and your testimony right here on air is going to impact people. Therefore, we already know for a certainty, although we didn't need this evidence, we know for a certainty that baby Grace's life has significance. If for no other reason than this phone call, but obviously for many reasons beyond that. I've seen the life of our baby Grace, as short as it was, having incredible power and impact right up to the present day. So that's the beauty in all of this. God is going to bring gold out of the ashes. Now you have to do what's prudent, which is to say you have to take, again, the best scientific and the best scriptural advice that you can get and go through this not without the body of Christ, but recognizing that you are a part, a member of the body of Christ, and not go through this alone, not go through this apart from the body of Christ, but with the body of Christ, which is precisely what you're doing.
Yes, and we've been able, you know, there's wonderful Christians on both sides of, you know, who have made the choice to continue and who have made the choice to go ahead and say goodbye. And, you know, it feels like, I just feel like we don't have a good choice. I wish the Lord would just take this out of our hands completely. It's
In some sense, He probably will, as long as your life is not endangered.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's just difficult. That's, I guess, the hardest part of this is there's not, nobody can say for sure yes or for sure no, because this is such a hugely rare, just severe situation that she has, that's really something that they haven't seen before. And so in our case, they can say, the regular complications of pregnancy, but we haven't seen a case like this before. And I think that's what makes me feel scared more than anything is there are so many unknowns because it is so tremendously rare. And so no one can say, oh, yes, there's lots of mothers who have carried to term with that condition, and they're all fine.
Well, the Lord, Samantha, has entrusted you with a very rare case because you're a very rare person. And I'm not saying that gratuitously. I'm just saying that based on how you're communicating. First of all, you're eloquent in your pain and in your suffering. And God has a purpose in all of this. And I would commend the Scripture so that God can speak to you personally through the Scripture. You know, particularly Psalm 139. And I like to point people to this passage because it so speaks to the issue, not only of baby Grace, but also you, Samantha. It speaks to you. The Lord knows you're going out and you're lying down. He's familiar with all your ways. He's hemmed you in behind and before. He's laid His hand upon you. You don't need to fear. His hand, even this moment, is upon you. Your thoughts are precious to Him as His thoughts are precious to you. And even now, you can praise God because baby Grace is fearfully and wonderfully made, and her frame is not hidden from God when she's been woven together in the secret place, in the depths of the earth. God's eyes see baby Grace's unformed body, and all the days ordained for baby Grace are already written in his book before even one of them has come to be. Samantha, you can leave baby Grace in the hands of your Lord and Savior. You look at the situation as long as you have the ability to carry baby Grace. It's an honor and a privilege. If your life is in danger, obviously, you need to take the appropriate action because there is a greater good principle that should be invoked at that point. We'll be praying for you. My family will be praying for you, and I'm sure a lot of other people listening in will be praying for you as well. God bless you, Samantha. We are, unfortunately, coming up to station break. We'll be right back.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. www.bibleandsermonbroadcast.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's return to our callers. Next up is Harris, listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Harris.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm now a pastor, and I used to be a Satanist at one time. Hmm. And I have a just to know, what do you think about a certain thing that I've been seeing? It's been happening in the Pentecostal churches. It's been happening in some Baptist churches and some non-denomination churches. It's pantomime in the churches. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, sign languages.
Right.
I'm talking about pantomime, like dances, and they'll turn off all the lights, and they'll have white gloves and dress all in black. And I know that the early church fathers, Hippolytus, he wrote against it, and I know that it was something that was done in Rome when they used to kill Christians, and it started in Greece. But I want to know, what do you think? Is it something that should be done in the churches? In my opinion, it shouldn't, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think the message that's being communicated is paramount. Whether you do it through hand motions with white gloves or whether you do it through your vocal cords, the message is paramount.
Okay.
So if, for example, you're using pantomime as a way of communicating the gospel, just as a classic case in point, there would be nothing inherently wrong with it. The point is, media is a tool.
Okay.
Media can be used for evil purposes. Media can be used for good purposes. It's a tool. We don't want to fall in love with the tool, but we want to use extant tools for God's glory. And I think a lot of times these kinds of things can be a distraction rather than amplifying the gospel. But that is not to say that it can't be used in a useful way for the communication of the gospel. So if it becomes a tool misused, it's bad. If it is a tool used properly, it can be okay. That's the principle.
Okay, but in Leviticus 10, it talks about the two sons of Aaron, that they gave a fire that was strange to the Lord, and God killed them because of it, you know?
Yeah, but this is a much different thing.
But you're saying that someone dressed in black and with the lights off and white gloves, and that's okay?
Yes, what's going on with the sons of Aaron is a completely different thing. Here you have a situation where unholy fire is being offered to the Lord. In other words, the Lord prescribes how things are to be done in terms of sacrifice, in terms of the priestly duties. He very specifically prescribes how that is to be done within the context of a theocracy. And with premeditation, they insult God. And therefore, as priests to the people, they pay with capital punishment. That's God's decision. But this is a different...
Something that came from Greece. Then it moved to the Christian era. The early church fathers spoke against it.
But here again, you have to understand the principle, and that's the point I'm saying. Do you think that the early church fathers are going to speak against the communication of the gospel because the lights are off and you're using white gloves? No. The prostitution of the gospel is always at issue. I mean, I can look at a particular television network and say, okay, this television network has been used for inherently evil purposes.
Okay.
But that does not mean that that platform can't be used as a corrective means to communicate the gospel. Let's look at money. Money is oftentimes depicted in the Bible as filthy.
Okay.
But that does not mean that I can't take $10 and give it to someone who needs a loaf of bread. So I can use that for purposes that are evil. I can also use that for purposes that are good. And that's the point. That's the principle.
Okay.
I really appreciate your heart, Harris. I really do. I mean, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. You want to be honoring to the Lord.
And there's a sense that they're not... These churches are not preaching no more. These churches are just entertaining with this thing.
Well, and that's why I say I appreciate your heart. That's kind of what I sensed was behind all of this, and I couldn't agree with you more. We have gone from education to entertainment.
Yeah,
we've gone
is entertainment. That's,
yes.
That's like...
I couldn't agree with you more. That's another issue, though. And again, if this becomes the focus of the church where entertainment becomes paramount, here's the problem. You got to keep upping the ante, because to keep people by an experience, you got to keep gradually ratcheting the experience up and up and up, because otherwise they'll go somewhere else where they can get the experience in 3D. And so certainly technique has overwhelmed theology. And I think therein you've put your finger on a real substantive problem. That's the real issue.
Okay. God bless you, Hank Hargraff. And I still disagree with the pantomime thing, but I do love you and I do respect you, and I think you're a great person.
Well, respect goes both ways. Thank you so much for your very courteous call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Todd, you're next, listening on the web in Anaheim, California. Hi, Todd.
Yes, sir. Hello, Hank. It's a privilege to speak to you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Okay, great. I want to bring up an issue that I have become kind of preoccupied with to some extent, and that matter is the use of career assessments, particularly assessments that have been used as gift assessments, and the use of those assessments in the church. And I have big questions about the use of assessments founded upon the beliefs and theories, perhaps some of the theories may be true, but theories of the first what are known as psychologists or psychoanalysts. And so my question would be, do you have any similar concern with the use of spiritual gift assessments in the church that are have links, have connections with those things?
Yeah, a good question, and you obviously have done your homework, but here's the point. All truth is God's truth. And therefore, you can find truth with Stephen Covey in his 7 Habits of an Effective Leader or Effective Manager. Why? Because even though he's a Mormon, he's got some of the leadership principles right. The same thing could be said with Jungian psychoanalysis or psychology. And I think we don't want to make a genetic fallacy here and therefore just throw out the baby with the bathwater. But you've done your homework, and I think there are certainly problems here because you have a Myers-Briggs test rooted in Carl Jung's theory of psychological types. And for this reason, many Christians have rejected the legitimacy of the test. So, 2 issues here. One is it legitimate in terms of how it deals with psychological types? That's one question. And then, is it being administered properly? Because I have seen these kinds of tests administered improperly and used for the wrong means. Let me give you a classic case in point. Tim LaHaye, who is famous for the Left Behind series, also has credited himself as being an expert in the area of these temperament tests.
Mm.
And so he says, as a student of human temperament, for many years I've been intrigued by the Jewish temperament. And then after carefully analyzing the temperament of the first Israelite, as he is described in the Bible, I have found, says LaHaye, Jacob to be a dead ringer for the 20th century residents of Israel. Well, what's the problem here? Well, the problem here is, according to LaHaye, the 2 classes of people can rightly be distinguished and divided on the basis of personal characteristics, one class being the Jews and the other being the Gentiles. Now, here's a classic example of where someone takes a temperament test and misemploys the test, and as a result of that, you have a real problem because he's now distinguishing between classes of people when biblically there are no classes of people to start with. You know, you can't distinguish between Jews and Gentiles on the basis of a temperament test. There are Gentiles that could rightly be classed in one category and Jews in that same category or in opposite categories, but you can't blanketly take all Jewish people, ethnic Jews, and classify them on the basis of a temperament test. That's a misapplication of the particular test. I think the same thing can be done with the Myers-Briggs test. So I think my takeaway point of all of this is, if you're going to use that kind of a test, you better have an administrator who is wise and discernment and uses the test for whatever potentialities it has as opposed to abusing the test. And then also, I think, better be very aware of the fact that this is rooted in Carl Jung's theory of psychological types, and therefore it starts with a very significant liability on the front end. Look forward to being right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.